Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Oh, well, we get to do the Jim Dome stat round again. In fact, do you want to change your stat?
To what?
We'll literally whip through it, though. We'll go quick.
The Messies and stuff.
Yeah, add that in, because that was fucking
That's
brilliant.
Fine. We'll whip through it, though, because...
Just get through the scores for a start. We got too hung up on stupid shit.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the Sunday League. Try that again.
Do you want to take the frog out?
I'm a bit thingy now. Right. Hello, and welcome to the Sunday League Pundit Show, episode 95. You have myself, Stretch, my good friend on camera, Jim Jam, and my good friend off camera, Tin Ribs. How are we, gentlemen?
Not too bad.
Not too bad. Pretty good.
Wonderful. Right, have we got a Jim Jam and Satman Sat?
Yes, I was watching a video of a football coach, and he was going through a few statistics to motivate a kids' team. And he was saying, like, Lionel Messi has missed 30 penalties in his career. Kylian Mbappe once went 5 games in a row without scoring a goal or getting a single assist. And Cristiano Ronaldo's lost 12 cup finals. And he says that even great players come through their challenges and stuff, and they carry on playing to the best of their ability to overcome them challenges, because Lionel Messi went and took another penalty. Cristiano Ronaldo went and played in a cup final and won. And Kylian Mbappe went and scored a couple goals.
12 cup finals, that's a lot, isn't it?
It is a lot.
That's a lot to lose.
And I thought,
12
that's
cup
quite
finals.
A lot of penalties and stuff.
I know
he's
won shit loads as well, but
yeah.
To lose 12 finals, that's hard.
I mean, does that make him a bridesmaid? Because even though he's probably won about 5 or 6, you know, he's lost more than he's won.
I don't think he's lost more than he's won. He's won 6 or 7 Champions Leagues alone, hasn't he?
Don't know.
But
the amount
has
of trophies
done
that he won at United as well, I don't think he's lost more than he's won. But certainly really 12 is a lot.
Premier League title trophies wouldn't count as it losing a final. So these are cup competitions. That he's
I'm on about FA Cup and
all right.
Community Shields, and because they all count. Fuck what anybody says, it all counts. But that takes me to Bukayo Saka.
Yeah.
Because after he missed that penalty for England, when him and Rashford got racially abused, that's when he became Arsenal's penalty taker.
Yeah.
Shows a lot of steel, that does, doesn't it?
It does.
Especially for a young man. Anyway.
And it's good that the coach, a coach focusing that, and they're teaching that to kids that, you know.
Losing doesn't always matter. Losing's okay.
Even the best players aren't
just
perfect.
Back.
You can only improve through failure.
Of course you can.
Yeah.
Winning teaches you nothing. True. Right, anyway.
Play the music.
Hello, welcome to episode 95 of the Sunday League Pundit Show. Right, we are going to whip through, because we made the mistake of recording this podcast. We've recorded the entirety of part one.
And we're starting again.
We have no fucking sound.
No.
Because we are still...
amateurs.
Amateurs.
Yeah.
Yes.
Stupid
so
amateurs.
We'll start where we went off. So,
we'll go...
Last week we left, and I was hoping that Will still was going to be sacked. And on our car journey home, he was sacked.
He was sacked.
So literally, dumb luck, by about an hour, we could have had that last week. And
yes.
Not gone through that I want him sacked.
Yeah. So Jim felt like he was going to sound stupid all last week.
And we kind of rabbited on a bit. So we'll go into the managerial situations at the moment. So we'll start with the managerial, because there's a lot going on with certain clubs.
Wolves.
That I've seen.
Wolves.
So Wolves. So Gary O'Neill apparently was hook, line and sinker to join Wolves. And he was on Sky Sports saying, oh, it's not the right fit for me.
But your inside
but
info.
Looking for stuff. And he became one of the favourites for the Southampton job. And I know that at least 75% of the fans, and I'm probably one of them, don't want him in at Southampton. And it would
probably
be a big
one
mistake.
Of them. So he's not convinced.
No,
himself,
it's not convinced. It's still a small percentage.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not everyone.
Not everybody.
It's more 50-50.
You know when they always do that whole thing of everybody says the opposite and then it's like everyone says, goes, no, we didn't.
That's like Arsenal.
It's one of them. Whoever they appoint, I'm going to back them anyway. You know, well, I back Will still when he first came. He was a high prospect and stuff like that.
And you backed him for a good month.
I backed him for a good month and, you know, good for him. Football Manager's come out now and he's got plenty of time to...
I reckon that was a well-paid
incidentally, skills. I want to say now, the last Football Manager I bought was Football Manager 24 because they didn't bring one out last year on console.
Yeah. So he's had a good year off.
Awful not to bring it out on console because I don't have a PC that I want to run it on. So they brought Football Manager 26 out this year.
Yeah.
Horrible. The OS of it, completely been destroyed from the last one. Awful.
I'm sorry, I preferred it when it was the whole text.
You're on about PC though.
Yeah, PC.
Well, you can still have just text on it.
I know you can.
Spreadsheet simulator.
But it was so much... When it was basic, it was so much better.
Basic was better. Do you remember the 7 boxes in the middle of the screen that you controlled everything from?
Yeah.
Come back.
And I'm so sorry.
Come back. All is forgiven. Because all this bullshit now that they've brought into Football Manager of, like, you get interviewed after every game. Have you tried to go through an international break on Football Manager? Fucking hell.
I'll actually say
every fucking 12 hours. This person's done this. What do you think? This player's done this. What do you think? This player's done this. I don't give a fuck. I wouldn't watch it if I was their fucking manager. Like, this is a digital thing where you know I'm not watching that game. You know I haven't watched it. Why are you asking me? How do you feel that your player scored for his country? It wasn't for me. I couldn't give a fuck. I'll be honest with you. I couldn't fucking care less.
But you know what I...
Wasn't expecting this rant.
It may be sad and stuff like that, but I remember being like probably 12 or 13 years old and you proper get into this game and you sit there and I know that I've done it before where I've got to the FA Cup final, which is a big deal back then.
Still is!
And I've got changed. And to manage that game, I put a shirt and tie on. Just to relive that moment of a cup final.
What a legend. Bell end.
Yeah, completely.
Did I just hear that right?
Yeah.
That's fucking dedication.
How old are you?
About 12 or 13.
That's dedication. I love that. I absolutely love that. No, I love that.
That's beyond dedication. I love that.
But you're talking like I've taken like... tons.
No, you don't.
I do. That's fucking brilliant. That's
stop
brilliant.
Encouraging.
Took, like, Stafford Rangers from like the Conference North to all the way to the FA Cup final years. In 15 seasons or something like that. So then you're like,
that's really annoying because I took Stafford Rangers once. I can't remember it. Was a long fucking time ago. And the best I could do was get him in the championship. I could not get past mid-table in the championship.
There's your man. At 12 years old, he didn't take Stafford Rangers.
By the time you get to 15, and it gets even better, because at that point, you know no players back then. You know.
Take the vibrations off.
Cristiano Ronaldo was Sporting.
You'd love
was
the vibrations.
Was at Sporting then, and you'd never have heard of him that year, so you never bought him that year, because you'd never even heard of him.
Brilliant.
But if I could go back, I think I'm picking... It was
the thing is, though, is you could go back to when Messi was 16 and sign him, and on Football Manager, he'd be shit.
Yeah.
Because they're not to know that 16-year-old is going to turn out to be Lionel Messi.
You know what the best thing you can do on the newer games is, where they have the option, do you want to use real player names? Turn that off. Makes the game so much better.
I like it for what it is. I just don't like the new operating system. Honestly, wasn't expecting to go into a rant about a computer game on a football podcast, but there you go.
No.
That's where my life is at.
That didn't happen in the...
That didn't happen in the first one, no. That was a whole new wine that I came up with.
So anyway, Wolves still's gone.
You're happy?
Gary O'Neill's not gone to Wolves. Wolves are still looking for their manager, although it appears it's going to be Middlesbrough's Edwards, because he got relieved of his managerial duties on Saturday for the game against Birmingham.
Did he? I know they said they weren't going to allow them to have the conversation.
Yes, but he was removed from the managerial duties. So it probably looks likely that he is going to go to there.
Question then.
Leeds are linked with Sam Allardyce at the moment.
Oh, for fuck's
sake. Because they were on about sacking Farke.
I mean, that
in May,
we'll go into
back
that
in May, which we did have that discussion because I said, I'll take him at Southampton.
Yeah. Right.
And you know what? Probably still would now. If you sacked him now, I'll go into that.
What we're going to do, I'm just going to let you know and everyone else know, because we fucked up on the first part and we've lost a lot, we're going to do one long first bit and then go straight into technically part three.
Okay.
But it's going to be part two.
But yeah. I'll go into Farke in a bit. And we'll
let's get through the results first.
And
as they were. Monday, Sunderland won, Everton won. Probably a fair result. Sunderland, for me, have been fucking superb this season.
I'm okay. I've got Xhaka in my...
And he scored the goal, so
And you made an absolute mistake letting him go.
Trust
absolutely, because he was a brilliant player, always with.
Why would you do that for
a mistake?
Why would you do that for a second time?
Because he gets that result.
I genuinely wasn't expecting that to come back. Why?
So, I had to. Hang on, and you know it's only going to get worse.
But can we?
I said that the first time.
You
as
can
well.
Stop that shit.
So, okay. And this, can you talk us through the game? Can you tell us where it all went wrong?
Right now,
Trossard scores an absolute scream.
We'll get on to that one because we're still on Tuesday. Slavia Prague 0, Arsenal 3. Saka with a penalty, as we mentioned in the first bit. Marino. Stepped up to take the second. Yeah. Marino with 2. I've got to eat humble pie because I have slagged him off in the past. He's proven to be better than
I did.
I
say Super Marino's going to be up front for you.
You did. And he was up front. And to be fair, he played fucking well, to be fair to him. Yeah. And yeah, I should shut up where he's concerned. Yeah. Macclesfield, team of the pod, as has been over the last couple of years.
Doing very well.
Yeah, yeah. We're all... It's the only team I think we can all stand in the terraces and happily cheer for.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And genuinely all want them to
win.
Like
we did say it on the first time around, but I think we all have our own team, Southampton, Leeds, Arsenal. I think the Sunday League Pundit Show, the team that the Sunday League Pundit Show support is Macclesfield.
Just careful, dude. You just SC. Yanked the camera around, you absolute clown.
Oh, sorry, buddy.
Yeah.
I heard a lot of cheering on the telly, so I thought I had to have a look.
So you decided to yank
the
camera
and said
spin
it.
And,
that's as short as I am, so that's why I struggle with it. You're welcome.
Mm.
Mac won 3-1 against Peterborough Sports. Decent game. Mac are currently in 8th, doing a lot better than I thought they were going to do. I'm actually really, really pleased with how they're doing. John Rooney, hey.
Doing a great job.
Doing well.
Fair play to you. Stepping up.
We couldn't decide if he was player manager or not.
We don't think he's player manager. We think he's just manager.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It works.
Fair play to him.
I don't know a player manager that really ever has made it work at any sort of level.
Tottenham won 4-0 and probably should have scored 12, so they're still shit. So nobody cares about that.
You did really well against QPR away as well.
Yeah, I mean,
it
was one of them games where I didn't watch it, but I look at the stats, it was a very un-Southampton-like performance. One, because we scored more than one goal.
I won't lie.
And
I watched
played,
the first half, as you know, because I sent them out, and the first half was fucking droll. Really boring. Second half, brilliant.
I mean, Leo Sienza's goal was just superb. Yeah. Finish from him. I wasn't optimistic at the start of the game. I looked at the lineup and went, oh, Bazunu's back in goal. Stevens is back as captain. No recognised right back in the side. And I was like, oh, I was nervous. We obviously took the lead, got another one, 2-1. Lots of QPR attacks, it looked like, right at the end. Looked like it was predominantly them, 60% to them to 40. I've said it before that Southampton normally are a team that have so much of a ball and manage to do fuck all with it.
Yeah.
So, quite frankly, I'm quite happy at the moment to go the opposite way round, have little of a ball, bit of glimpse of quality, win the game, And at the end of the day, right now, when you're just one place above the relegation zone,
yeah,
getting wins is vitally important now. And regarding where you talk playoffs now, because I'm only talking playoffs now, it's not over.
The playoffs the playoffs positions are not over till 3-4 weeks before the end of the season. The amount of teams.
You do have to start a run going.
Well, yeah, but look at Cooper. Look at Cooper when he took over Nottingham Forest. Yeah. They were bottom, they were miles out, and then straight into the playoffs. Yeah. They just surged through. So it's not over. I think with the right manager, which we'll go into in a few minutes, I think you can make a push. You've got the team, you've got the players. I think you need the manager. But yeah, so.
Somebody with a bit of authority.
Yeah.
I'm going to use that word. Authority, because right now it doesn't need a nice guy. It doesn't need a tactical genius. I think it needs somebody that's not going to take no shit and is going to tell them exactly what for.
So let's skip to today then. Premier League today, was yesterday. Yeah. So the Premier League, Tottenham, Man United. My highlight was Richarlison celebrating like he just fucking scored the winner of the World Cup. And yeah, then
apparently like seven celebrations or something like that.
Shirt off, sliding, hugging, kissing.
Imagine being this guy, seven celebrations to celebrate a draw.
Yeah, and then like literally a minute and a half later.
Probably described as the most Spursy celebration.
Oh, it was. It was a proper Spursy moment because they won the World Cup and then Spursied it. So that was fun. Everton were the better team. Fulham were awful.
Yeah.
I think that's a fair draw.
Fulham in trouble?
At the moment, no. I think they... We'll see. I've got my opinion, which I'll
I think there's a couple teams that can get dragged into it.
Yeah.
Right, let's ignore Wolves because they're doing their best to be the worst team that the world has ever seen.
No, we'll go back onto them in a moment. West Ham, Burnley.
Was you've got Forest... West Ham and Burnley on 9, 10 and 10 points.
Yeah.
Then you've got Leeds and Fulham on 11 and Newcastle on 12. I don't think any of them can be considered not in trouble. So you look at Fulham, I don't think you can say they're not in trouble. They're a point above relegation.
Yeah.
Newcastle are 2 points above
relegation. It's Newcastle that I've got my concerns for. And I'll go. This is why I was going to go into it in a moment. Okay. West Ham, Burnley, that was a great game for the neutral.
Neutral.
And they said, thank you, Southampton. For Fernandez and Walker Peters at the moment.
Then Chelsea, absolutely. First half, bored the shit out of me. And then second half, they just decided.
Then they went in at half time and the manager just went,
boys, the fuck are you doing?
It's Wolves. And Chelsea sat there and went, oh yeah.
I watched it for a bit.
It was like watching them kick a puppy. Kick ass, it was like literally watching them kick a puppy.
I watched it for a little bit and then realised darts was on, so I switched it to darts.
The second half was just...
Fuck me, if you'd rather watch darts than football, fucking must be shit.
And then, obviously, you've got Arsenal-Sunderland.
Right, one thing I will say about this game.
Mm-hmm.
Sunderland did not deserve to lose that game. They did not deserve to lose that game.
Oh, they were so... good.
Everything they did, they did well. Now, here's the point I'd like to make.
Okay.
For the world's greatest goalkeeper, do you know how many shots on target Sunderland had without looking at your phone?
Two.
And how many goals did we concede?
Two.
Keep a shot.
No. They definitely had three because Raya made a good save.
Not according to that.
One was offside, but he made one late on where...
Apparently it wasn't on target according to FotMob.
It looked on target though.
According to FotMob, it
wasn't. Did you watch it? So you know what save...
Oh, hang on. He didn't watch it.
Because one was offside and Raya made a brilliant stop.
I was with my
and
lady.
And then he made...
I don't care.
He made another save because he went down... Because the Sunderland fans booed because he obviously went injured after, if you...
Yeah, I watched it.
But that was a good save.
What? No, see, this is my problem. So he'll sit there slagging people off for their performances, but all he sees is a highlight reel. Do you know what I mean? It's like...
Right. The first goal, nothing he could do about.
Nothing.
The second goal, it's a bit poor.
Yeah, it's poor.
Okay, so hear me out. in the last 9 games, we've faced one shot on target, which you're questioning whether was actually a shot on target. Because it bounced off somebody's head or something.
Yeah. Okay, that one, yeah.
So you were debating, is it actually a shot on target?
Yeah.
So let's go with your theory. So in the last 9 games, we've faced no shots on target.
And
we've conceded no goals.
Yeah.
We then faced 2 shots on target and concede 2 goals. Right, shit.
But that's now like... Hang on. Going on that then. Leeds versus Arsenal. Leeds, yeah?
Yeah.
You had 5 shots on target, scored all 5 goals.
Yeah.
How many of them could Piri have actually saved? Including the fucking handball.
5?
Fuck up.
I mean, he'd have to be directly in front of the guy hitting the ball.
Exactly
but...
my point. So the point is, just because a shot is on target does not mean that every keeper under the sun can fucking save them.
You've both just told me that the second one...
No, the second
was
one...
was a mistake
second
by the
one,
goalkeeper.
The second one, I won't say, there's a miscommunication and he comes for it where he possibly shouldn't have.
Probably shouldn't could have.
Gabriel have done better as well?
Gabriel could have done a lot fucking
Gabriel
better.
Gabriel could have done fucking loads better.
Yeah, and that's my point. So,
okay, so this is my problem with, say, FotMob.
Yeah, so
here
we
go. Right?
FotMob.
Like I've said to you so many times, you can prove anything with stats. Yeah. So, we've had 2 shots on target in 10 games and conceded 2 goals.
So you watched the game, I watched the game. Who was man of the match in that game?
Who do you think it was?
Ballard, without a shadow of a doubt.
Okay.
You know what, I'm going to agree with you.
From the bits I saw, I would agree.
Okay.
Because I think he did really well.
He was.
100%. So Bioko Saka got man of the match.
What?
On FotMob.
It's not Biak, it's Bakayo.
What? So, Mukiel was better than him, apparently. Xhaka was better. Siddiqui was better than him. Marino was better than him. Trossard was better than him. Zubimendi was better than
him. Hang on, Ballard's got... Okay, this is ridiculous. No.
Yeah. 7.1.
Ballard was an absolute rock.
He was really, really good, wasn't he?
Even though
I didn't see the whole game.
Phenomenal.
But from the bits I saw, he
FotMob
was brilliant.
FotMob hasn't even credited him with the assist. For the second goal, which he blatantly did.
Yeah.
And in that last minute, Zubimendi had this shot.
Oh, and he threw himself out.
He threw himself out.
That block was phenomenal.
It was a good block.
Ballard, what a player. You'd want that commitment from any... Yeah. I'm not saying he's going to step into a top 4 team, but the way he played, you want that kind of
I'm not
going
to lie. If I didn't give it to Ballard, I'd have probably given it to Siddiqui.
Yeah.
Because he was really good.
Well, you wouldn't have given it to Saka regardless.
Good.
No, I wouldn't have given it anywhere near Saka.
No, not that game. Because he...
He wasn't horrible, but
no,
he wasn't
doing much.
He wasn't the standout player.
No, I didn't say he was... You know, it wasn't... I'm not saying he was shit. I'm just saying, when you look...
He wasn't standout.
No. And when you... I mean, you're going on the fact that Arsenal versus Sunderland, you expect Arsenal to do better. So for Sunderland to do what they did... shows that they had outstanding performances across throughout the team.
Yeah.
So, no.
Put it this way, I know that I spoke to a Sunderland fan in Dublin and he basically said that because they nearly got Will Still as manager and they are so thankful that they didn't go with him and went with the manager that they got. Again, another manager, and not heard of him?
No, I hadn't before he got the job.
I hadn't heard of him.
And in all fairness, it's working out for him. He's got a great team effort going. And Sunderland.
Who scored? Wait, which way?
Doku.
Yeah.
Man City 3, Liverpool 0.
I didn't care who scored personal. I wanted to know which team.
I take it with this, you're probably not too happy with it going that way.
Liverpool are losing.
He doesn't give a shit. Liverpool are losing.
I'd rather City challenge us than Liverpool be anywhere near the top of the league.
Yeah.
So, thrilled.
Okay.
It's 3-0. Bring on 11-0. Make it the most embarrassing defeat the Premier League's ever seen. I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
Par 3 is going to be so good when we get there.
You can
We move on, leave to come to today, I want to drop very quickly into the Championship. Let's go with...
It's a good job because he's good.
We are, yeah. So Southampton beat Sheffield Wednesday, which at the moment is expected by anybody.
Yeah. But again, you look at it and you don't know what we're going to expect at the moment. We've won 2 out of 2. It's the first time we've won 2 games in like 571 days or something like
that's
that.
That's so fucking insane, by the way, that record is.
And
yeah. That's ridiculous.
The first goal, very lucky. I don't know how far the ball went over the line. It wasn't much. I think the keeper probably should do better, 100%. It looped over him. He kind of fumbled it, tried to scramble it off the line. It looked like he did, but obviously the watch goes goal, so it's a goal. Mm. And then it was a good finish from Azaz, got his first goal, which he needed because, again, a player that we've bought for a lot of money that hasn't performed yet. So it'd be good if he can start ticking over because he was doing well at Middlesbrough. And then they scored. Bazunu should do better with a shot from at a range outside the box.
Yeah, he'll be kicking himself.
Whether or not the ball's slippy, because there's a lot of talk about the ball this year. The new Puma ball. I'm not sure if it's a Puma ball in the Championship as well, but I know in the Premiership they're saying that the new ball in the Premier League is horrible for goalkeepers because it's got that little bit more swerve on it or changing directions, which is why you're seeing a few more goals from range now and keepers not doing as well, like Pope last week where we said that, you know, we could have done better, but they're saying, like, the way that the ball is at the moment, that the keepers should be setting up slightly different because they know, they should know by now there's going to be a lot more movement on the ball. And then the third goal, he made his changes at half time. He saw things that wasn't working. And we got a goal just after half time to make it 3-1. And then we held on to the game. And it was a good goal from back to front. Played it back to keeper, a couple passes around the back. Gave it to Taylor Harwood-Bellis. Great through ball. Adam Armstrong run on it. Through on goal. Finish bottom corner. I'm pleased to see Armstrong scoring goals, obviously, because, you know, we scored a lot in the year that we went up. And we haven't signed a recognised striker for so long. And we need that. And I still think we do need another striker at the moment.
We definitely do, because if anything does happen, then you haven't really.
And
got
I don't.
Backup,
and he needs, if he's not on form, he can miss 13 chances in a game.
He needs pushing.
He needs pushing because, like I say, he can miss a lot of chances in a game with poor finishing. Luckily, that wasn't one of them, so that's good.
Well, it worked. And I'm sorry, Daryl, but Blackburn got beat 2-1 by Derby.
Derby are doing well at the moment, though. They're on a good run of form. Coventry, Stoke played, who were the top two going into this weekend. Before this weekend, obviously, Middlesbrough have overtook them. It was a bicycle kick, and I believe he got stretchered off after the goal as well. He hurt himself doing it. It was pretty much all Coventry, really. But, you know, Coventry are beating teams like 5-6.
Yeah, they're doing well.
Nil in time. So Stoke probably losing 1-0. Yeah. Probably a good result for them. I know I was speaking at half time to Stoke fan, and they'd have been happy with a draw.
Well, 40
when
goals
it was
in
0-0.
15. 40 goals in 15 games is pretty good.
And Stoke have only conceded 10, which is the least amount in the Championship. So Stoke have got a really good defence, and they. Yeah. As long as they keep Robbins, I think they'll do all right. They're going to be in the playoffs, I'd say. Yeah. Whether or not they get automatic or not, they've got to keep pushing, they've got to keep going, and they can't afford to lose the players that they've got because they've done a hell of a recruitment.
So,
going on last year, Johansson is by far the best keeper in the Championship. Could very easily be good for the Premier League. Thomas has been superb.
I know it sounds stupid because of where they are, but I still think Cooper's probably his biggest rival in the Championship when it comes to goalkeepers. The one at he went from Plymouth to Sheffield United.
Is that where he's at now?
He's still at Sheffield United.
Yeah,
he's.
It's probably difficult because Sheffield United are doing really poor at
I know.
The moment.
Incidentally, he was man of the match against QPR.
Oh, was he? He's a very, very good goalkeeper. Him and Johansson are definitely the best two in the Championship for me. But just before we move out of the Championship, because Middlesbrough beat Birmingham, and obviously Birmingham are doing really well. Here's my question about Edwards. Would you leave a promotion challenging club for a relegation fight that you are literally pretty much already lost? Would you do it?
Money's going to talk. Now, I believe Edwards, former Wolves player, he lives in Telford. His family's from around the area. There's more to it than...
I get that.
Just the teams. He's an experienced manager.
He's in Birmingham.
If he survives, he's at Middlesbrough.
He's
at Middlesbrough, so that is miles away
But is his family living with him, where he is now?
He's probably got some there, but who knows? All I know that apparently he's based Telford.
He's based in Telford and works in Middlesbrough. Well, that's going to make a big difference to your decision.
Yeah, you've got to think there's... I've listened to certain players and they make the moves and they will focus it on family. Like,
of course
I didn't realise that Scott Carson, before he went to Man City, he was at Derby, I think. And he basically was doing well at Derby and basically got told, you're not in our plans. Wanted to fight to stay there because he was happy living in Derby, and then got told, you're going to play in the reserves. So he got mistreated, and he went to Turkey for 2 years, which I didn't realise. He went to Turkey. Bursaspor, I think he played for.
63 appearances.
Yeah, so he obviously went out there for 2011 to 2013. And he didn't plan on going to... any. I think he had a move that he could have gone to Chelsea.
He went to Wigan.
No, I know that. But he could have gone to Chelsea at the time or Man City. And obviously Man City was the move that he did in the end. So a lot of decisions are based on where the family is. You know, Matt Letizier stayed at Southampton because his wife at the time didn't want to move to London.
Don't blame her.
Thank God for that woman. Even though he did get divorced from her in the end, but, you know, it was long enough for him to stay at Southampton for his entire career. So, you know, family does come first for players before the big move. So like you say, Edwards, it might just be the right fit for him as a manager, and he might want the challenge in the Premier League, and he's an established Championship manager, which obviously Wolves will be looking at going... If the inevitable is going to happen and we're going to get relegated, we want the manager in place that we're going to stick by.
Yes, of course.
Doesn't always work.
Doesn't.
But
I'm just looking at it and thinking.
So would you relish that challenge? Because no. What if you succeed?
What if you don't?
I'm sorry. I'm going
personally. I'd probably stay put.
Yeah.
Because he's doing
for
all
a
right.
Chance. Yeah.
But. Are you going to want to come and work 2.5 hours closer to where you live?
Mm.
Mm-hmm. 3 hours closer to where you live.
Yeah, maybe.
It's a long way.
The Wolves challenge. Oh, yeah. Edwards has agreed the deal. Contract 3.5 years.
So he's gone.
I just think it's stupid.
Well, here you go. Who's heavily linked with Southampton as well? Frank Lampard.
He's not going to Southampton.
Not from where he is.
Oh, I'm top of the league, flying high with my project at Coventry. I know, I'm just going to go to a team that are lingering in the middle of the...
Everyone loves me at Coventry.
Yeah.
People said that last year about John Eustace. What's he gone from Blackburn, who were in the playoffs riding high, looking okay? Yeah,
they sacked him.
He didn't. He left to go to Derby.
Did he?
Yeah. Who were fighting relegation.
Know that? No, I couldn't. Hang on.
Because we said it last year.
It's because he'd been lied to by the board.
Yeah.
Because they said they were going to invest and they didn't invest, so he fucked off. Which I don't blame him for. Because let's be honest.
And you say at the time, why would you go from Blackburn to Derby, who were fighting relegation?
Struggling.
And right now, it's looking like a smart move.
It is, but you're not going to... Not every manager's going to do that with every club. No. So not everybody's going to...
I don't think...
Everybody's going to jump into Wolves.
Where Wolves are now, with the players they've got right now, everything as it is right now, think Wolves are down.
Yeah.
Like at the moment, they say that... whether or not you agree or not, Coventry are riding high, but they do say that Southampton, it's got more money and it's a bigger club.
There's
the
nothing to stop Southampton going up this season.
No.
Nothing. They just need the right piece in place.
Yeah. Yeah. So
that's all they need.
And money could talk. He could get offered a crazy amount of money that he's not getting at Coventry. And
it would entice him. I don't know if he's like Ashley Cole, but if he is, then he's gone. It's just
I don't think he will. I wouldn't leave Coventry.
I don't think he will. But, you know, you're happy in your job, but if somebody comes to you and said, I'll triple your wage to do exactly the same thing, but we'll give you slightly better hours, you're not going to say no, are you?
Yeah, we say that a lot.
But I'm going to word it like this. If they turn around to you, right, and say, we're going to pay you the exact same amount to do the same job, but you're literally stuck here, whereas if you stay at the other one, you're going to get less hours, but we're going to then increase your pay to suit. Which one are you doing?
I'm always going for the more money.
No, no. But if you stay, you've got to do a year, and then we're going to pay you the same as what the other job's offering, but you do less hours. Which one are you doing? Are you going to hang in there a year?
I'll probably hang in a year.
Ah, so that's the point, isn't it? Because we don't have reward like going to the top tier. That would be a promotion, for example. Mm. So the idea is, if you get promoted, your wages go up automatically anyway because they're going to pay you more because you've stepped up. It's in everybody's contract. So to stay at Coventry, for example, and get promoted, he'll probably be on the same wages that Southampton will do. Yes, he'll have to wait a year, but he's going to get it no matter what. Mm. Now, our work reward would be, well, you're going to work less hours. So if I said to you, I'm going to pay you three times the amount now, straight away, but you've still got to work the same hours. Or if you wait till till April, right? I'm going to pay you the same as what they're offering, but I'm going to ask you to work 6 hours less a week.
Well, okay, you're going to go.
You're going to stick it out, aren't you?
Yeah. Yeah,
so, in my opinion, Frank is stupid if he leaves.
Most likely.
Right, anyway,
we all think that.
To tie in with all this conversation, let's just skip to today's games and Leeds. Today, I watched
a great game. It was a great game.
We scored a goal, and what was hilarious was everybody was moaning about why are we playing him?
Nemecha. That makes him sound like he needs locking up.
Yeah. Anyway,
I prefer Nemecha.
To watch him score within 13 minutes was brilliant because it's like all of a sudden it's like all these dickheads are going, it was nice, but will you stop doing that?
Just
put your fucking phone down or unplug it.
Unplug it.
I don't want someone you got to plug it in. Fucking plank. Right, anyway. So it was nice to see that. But then to see us concede a fourth goal in a row where it's exactly the same. The ball comes across into the area and nobody has picked up the fucking runner. We have conceded four goals in a row, three against Brighton and the first one against Forest. They're identical. Mm-hmm. Piri makes a save because the ball's whizzed in. He's dived out and palmed it away. He's palmed it into the danger area. Okay, maybe. But who is picking up the three red shirts? There are three red shirts in the box, completely unmarked. No one picks them up. Let's go back to Brighton. Every time that ball's played into the box, there are two or three heads, no one marking them. Mm. The defending is fucking atrocious.
So is your manager doing zonal marking then?
I don't know what he's doing, but this is where I'm coming to. So, they scored. Have you seen any of it?
No.
So, Gibbs White's header, it's a good goal, but no one's picked him up. He's in between, dead centre, in between our two centre-backs. Why is nobody... The ball's sent in. You've got the midfield in a line, 5 yards, our two centre-backs, and he's in the middle. There's literally... He just sort of wandered in. No one's picked him up. Mm. Again, it's good header, bottom corner, away from the keeper. At this point, he puts Pirro... Okay, cool. Taking the metro. Put Pirro up front. No. He's not going to put Pirro up front. He's going to put Pirro in number 10 position and bring on Calvert-Lewin. The reason Calvert-Lewin hasn't started is because he's not doing the fucking job he's supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
He takes off Aronson and puts on Dan James. Good decision. Dan James makes Sells make a really good save as well. But the problem we've got then is, for some unknown fucking reason, keep in mind we signed the lad Justin from Leicester, who actually has played really well for us. When he's come on for Bogle or done, he's come on, he's done what he needs to do. He takes Johnson off, who's having a pretty damn good game at this point, and puts Harrison on in that position, who gets skinned not once, not twice, but three times during this game. And on one of them, he legs the player up for a penalty. A little bit later, he tries to rugby tackle. He is not a left back. He is not good enough. What is Fark doing? So, unfortunately, for the first time, I'm actually going to say, I think Fark is going to have to go. We've lost four out of our last five. We've lost four out of our last five. We are toothless.
Is he not a Premier League manager?
I'm starting to think so. I think he's got really good championship ethics.
Right.
He knows how to make a team play football. Okay. But I just don't think he knows how to transition it into Premier League.
Devil's advocate purely.
Yep.
Yeah.
Is your forward line just not good enough for the Premier League?
I agree.
Or is it your manager? Would, let's say, for instance, let's not go to the fucking extreme and give him Ronaldo and have Messi. Let's just say you had Madawake on one side, you had Mbeumo on the other, and you had Chris Wood up front. Do you think that manager then would, you'd be sat here going, yeah, he's really good. So what I'm saying is, if you had the tools up front, if someone give you the false gnashers, so if you got a bit of bite, would that manager, would you then be sat here going, we're actually scoring goals, we're doing okay?
I'm going to word it like this.
Devil's advocate.
No, you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
I'm going to word it exactly like this. If he has the players for his system, yes.
So is it the manager's fault?
Yes, and here's why. In the Championship, when you've got a team that is Premiership standard, and you can play that system, because let's be honest, some of the teams in the Championship are not very good, right? You run rampant because you've got those players.
Some of the teams in the Championship are very good, though, and you're still doing well against that.
Not always.
For the majority of it, Leeds were just ruthless and by far the best team.
But we had probably the best striker in the Championship in Pirro. Dan James is pretty damn good. Solomon, I would love to have kept him. We miss him.
That, you did say that.
The team right now, the Leeds this year, is Coventry.
Yeah.
They look and that's ruthless and that's the thing. Know how to win.
But the thing is, in the Premier League, the step up is massive.
Yeah, it's huge.
And Okenfor looks like our best winger. He looks good. Pirro is not a Premiership striker, and this is why. In the Championship, he had one of two ways of playing. He either didn't get marked out of the game, and he was ruthless. But the second he got marked out of the game, he was, you might as well not even have him on the pitch.
You're going to get marked in the Premier
League.
It
was like when you played us. Sorry, that would have been loud. When you played us, we cut out your best players.
Yeah. And imagine playing the Southampton game every week. We had no answer for it because we didn't have the players to the calibre to break down. So if you gave Daniel Fark top class wingers and a top class number nine, absolutely we'd be fine. The problem is we haven't financially been able to buy a top class number nine. We haven't been able to financially buy two top class wingers.
It also doesn't
help that Dan James has only just come back from injury. Ananto's out for injury. Okenfor's our only registered winger outside of those two because we've had to send Ramazani off on a fucking loan because I don't know whether it's his attitude or what. So when we haven't got the number, we haven't got the players we require. And I think he's so in his way of style that without a significant investment, I mean, if you turn around and went, oh yeah, we've got Rafinha back, I don't think we'd have a problem. But the problem is, we don't have the calibre of player to play his style in the Premier League.
Yeah.
And I don't think he can adapt to survive in the let's look at Scott Parker. The way he's playing this season is not the way he played last season. He's changed his style and his way to get them there. Look at Sunderland. They didn't play this type of football last season, did they?
No.
But they're doing really well because they bought players that will suit a Premier League style. We don't play a Premier League style. They've recruited well.
Sunderland have recruited very well. Last season, we recruited awful. We made signings, but They weren't the right ones. No. They were horrendous signings. When you look back, you think, you know what?
Did you know at the time they were going to be awful signings, though?
No.
So
because
it's
I
not
thought
like,
Archer would have done better than he did.
So it's not like you're sitting here like going, they bought the wrong players. Because at the time, you were like, this could work. When you signed them initially...
Yeah.
I was hoping for their best, and they just didn't give us the best, so...
But what I'm saying is, at day of signing, you didn't go, this is a fucking mistake.
Some I do.
Right, but not all of them.
But not all of them.
Even though they all let you down.
So, yeah. What I'm getting at, though, is if Farke was to go to Southampton, say we sacked him, and he goes to Southampton, he will do a fantastic job at Southampton. He will turn them around, and he will get them to the playoffs.
Yeah, because Southampton have got a bloody good championship squad.
And he'd be, and potentially, it's a manager for 2 years. And you know what? Do you just give him a 2-year deal?
Yeah.
Which basically, rest of this season, next season,
I was more than happy,
which is championship,
to give him that Premier League shout with financial. But it is very clear that his style of football requires a high calibre of player. And unfortunately...
You haven't done the recruitment.
The recruitment we've been able to do is not to the standard. Our left back is very good. Our defence is okay, but for some reason, people are picking holes in it, and they should not be picking the holes they are. The holes they're finding, I mean, you watch the highlight.
So is that not a defensive thing? That's a managerial thing?
I think so.
For you?
It's got to be. It's got to be because...
Because you think your defence is good enough to withstand.
Yeah.
More than they're withstanding.
How old's your defence?
I think Rotodon's 20. I think it's like probably about an average of 26.
Is it too young? Possibly. Have you not got an experienced head in there?
No, I don't think we do.
Is that a problem? Because like,
don't know, is it?
Burnley have brought in, obviously, Kyle Walker with experience, and they've got youth in there. Yeah. So they've obviously gone with an experienced head in there.
Possibly three, though.
You know, Sunderland went out and got themselves a very good captain.
But I'm looking at it and going, we've got two very good wing backs in Bogle and Goodison.
Yeah,
I think we've got two very good wing backs, but we're still playing a flat four. So I look at it and go, how is Sunderland playing? Oh, they're playing a five. We've got Bijol, who's a very good centre back. We've got Strauch, who's a very good left sided centre back, and Rodon, who's a very good right sided back. So in my head, I'm like, why are we not trying the idea of having those three at the back with using, because they do like to bomb on. But it leaves us vulnerable. So why don't we try and play that way? We've got the players for it. We've got Ampadu, who's a fantastic defensive midfielder.
But this is what we're on about. His managers don't have plan Bs.
Yeah, and this
could be a plan B in his Arsenal.
But this is what I'm saying. And I'm looking at it, and Farke just plays one way and one way only. And again, if you've got the players for his system, it's really good. If you gave him Arsenal, I think he'd do really well. Mm. The problem is he hasn't got the players to play his style in the Premier League. If you put his style in any team in the Championship let's just take Leeds straight back down, we're going to smash that 100 points. Easy. Because the team we've got now will absolutely obliterate the Championship.
Okay.
The team we've got now is a lot better than the team we had that came up.
Okay.
Okenfor is going to destroy every defence.
If he stays.
If he stays. And there's a problem. If he stays.
Okay.
And there it is. We've got a,
because you've got the players like
we've
that.
We've got a Champions League goalkeeper,
relegation release clause.
Yeah, we've got a Champions League goalkeeper. We've got a couple of players who've all played at very high level, all internationals. But we just can't. That system is not working in the Premier League. Okay. And I think there needs to be a rehash of how we're doing things.
Okay.
Another one. We brought it up a couple of weeks ago, and I think my opinion may be changing slightly. Well, definitely. Eddie Howe, trouble at Newcastle?
No, and here's why. Remember I said clubs like Aston Villa, I'm going to use Villa as the best example. They did really well. They got into the Premier League, to the Champions League. They played in the Champions League, and that season they were fucking awful. But why? They haven't got a squad for the Champions League. Newcastle still don't have a squad because despite the fact that their owners own so much wealth, they could literally buy every team in the Premier League.
But they can't
spend any of it because of financial fair play rules. Mm-hmm. So the problem is Newcastle can't buy a squad, so they're in the Champions League. They did all right in the week, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. But the problem is they haven't got a squad to play the volume of games they're playing.
Is, so is they will doing well season. In the Champions League enough for Eddie Howe to stay? Do they need to win a cup again?
I think, yes.
Because they're saying, or is...
He needs...
Or is he done everything that he can achieve? And if Newcastle want to go to the next level, can he take them to the next level? Which the next level for me is sustained Champions League football.
The problem you've got for me
and
is...
I'm sorry, they're not going to be in the Champions League next year.
But...
I'll say now, way, they're not in the Champions
League.
The
only way they're going to get anywhere is they've got to do well in this Champions League. So get to the knockout stage, semi-finals area. They've got to win a domestic cup. Doesn't matter about the league then, because that won't affect their financial fair play anywhere near as much as, oh, you got to the semi-final of the Champions League. I think getting there gets you like an extra 20 million or something. Fucking absolutely ludicrous. If they win a domestic trophy, that's another 25 million. So there's 45 million extra. But if they finish 6th or 10th, I think it's like 4 million difference in their financial fair play.
Yeah.
So in all fairness, as long as he finishes middle table but gets those benchmarks, I think he'll be fine.
It's like Liverpool can spend all the money they want at the moment because they've been successful.
For a long period. But they've always had a squad. They've had a squad for decades. Newcastle don't have a squad. The only way they're going to get better is by gaining a squad. And the only way they're going to do that is by working at financial fair play. So at the moment, he's got to be...
Do you think part of the issue Newcastle have got is location? Because players find the North East cold.
No.
Oh,
isolated. Isolated.
I think that...
Because it's not...
You can
it's
have
not...
a nice area up there and... I mean, the problem is because I family from the northeast. As we I said last week, I'm 50% northeast blood in me. I love it up there. I really do love it up there. And
my mother is one of 16 children, and 12 of them live in Gateshead.
Yeah, which is basically Newcastle. Yeah.
They don't know what the sun is. They very rarely met each other. Genuinely, do we think this is part of the problem?
No.
Because players will go up there, it's cold, it's miserable. The people are phenomenal. Yeah. Let's not get it twisted. There. Right? Newcastle is a fantastic place to be. And it's a fantastic place for a night out.
And you're not going to get stabbed on a night out.
It's a great place to have fun.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't want to live there.
I would.
It's fucking freezing all the time.
It's okay in the summer.
No, it's not. They still don't know what the sun is. And I like the sun.
It's dead hot.
It makes me happy.
It can be dead hot in the summer on a dead hot day.
When someone's got a fucking fire lit, it's nothing to do with the sun. Because they never see the fucking thing. Scotland, they never see it either. I couldn't do it. I wouldn't want to live up there. And I love the place. I love the people. The accent makes women at least 80% sexier, regardless.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Just because they speak Geordie, they're immediately attractive. Just because they've got a Geordie accent. Because I fucking love the Geordie accent.
Kind of in a goal.
Ah, stop. Stop. Honestly, that accent is wonderful.
Yeah.
Right. Everything about the place is amazing, apart from the fact that they never see the sun. I couldn't be doing with it. It makes me hopeful and happy, and I like the sun, so I couldn't get rid of it.
I don't know, but I don't think... I don't
do.
Think
I probably could.
I genuinely think location's part of the reason they can't hold on. Like Isaac, I just think he didn't like Newcastle. I think he loved the club.
No.
I think he loved the fans. I just don't think he liked the area when he wasn't playing
football. No, I think he just saw Champions League and trophies and decided that's what he wanted.
Possibly.
No, that's
get...
it.
Son in Liverpool.
Yeah.
Only when they steal it. Anyway.
But the whole point is, he didn't go to Liverpool because it was a better area. He went to Liverpool to try and win trophies. I mean,
because it's a better area. Yeah, there's not a fucking chance that Liverpool's anywhere near Newcastle on like popularity or cleanliness.
But again, he's
or
seen a more developed team. He's seen a squad. He's seen trophies and gone, I'm going there. Newcastle need to build that squad. That's what it is. They need.
I think they're going to struggle because it's one of them. Until you have it, you're going to struggle to get it.
Yeah.
But struggling to get it is then the problem because then you're not fucking getting it. So you're not getting the players in and keeping them because you're not crossing that line quick enough. Mm. And that was the thing with Isaac. He was there a couple of years, but because they didn't cross that line quick enough, he's gone. Well, now they've got to start again with Voldemort.
Can we just... Can we get Man City to score one more goal?
No, why?
Because at the moment, they're below Man United on goal by goals scored. But if they concede another, they go below Man United on actual goal difference.
Okay, I'm okay with that.
Because at this moment, I mean, you're not gonna get Liverpool are eight.
The final whistle's just gone.
Oh, no, that's wounded. That's ruined my night. Yeah. But yeah. They are below Man United. Liverpool are eighth below Manchester United.
Robertson has just given Pep Guardiola two hugs on the pitch and had a massive conversation and laughed with him.
Oh, Robertson will be getting nuts.
No, I'm not sure what all that's about, but he was all over Guardiola.
His house is getting burnt down at the end of the week then?
Obviously. It starts with the shirts, though.
They're too happy with the recruitment this year.
What, Liverpool?
They're saying that Kirkes isn't good enough and Robertson's now back. Wirtz just hasn't hit the ground running yet. Isak hasn't hit the ground running yet.
Isaac's been poor. The thing is, though, and this is the thing with Liverpool, they always want more. Right, so Ekitike came in, genuinely never heard of him.
He was brilliant.
But the second they sign Isak, Ekitike's on the bench. He's been really good. Why are you benching him?
No, they're playing both together and they're two different.
That's not going to work anyway. So no. That's stupid regardless. So just play Ekitike until Isaac has his chance to go into the squad. Carabao Cup, FA Cup, whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
But don't take a scoring striker out to put a new guy in, because Ekitike is then going to be sat there going, what the fuck have I done?
The thing is, though, Liverpool haven't been good, really, all year. They've just been...
Lucky.
Yeah.
I agree.
I think from what Jope was saying, the only games that they played well was Villa and Real Madrid.
I would agree with him.
They
weren't even that good against Arsenal, but Arsenal were poor as well, so...
So I think...
It was just a poor game and a wonderful goal that won it.
It's going to be... But. An interesting Premier League, I think.
Hopefully. Yeah, I don't think Arsenal will win
title
it.
Race.
But anyway, I think what we're going to do now is we are going to quit that hour long. We apologise for the fuck up. We did record a part one, but it didn't quite work because Tim was fucked up at the beginning. You will take the blame for that because that's definitely your fault.
You know what? My shoulders are strong enough to bear that burden. That's fine.
Yeah. I don't think they are because they look like fucking twiglets, but there you go. So Tim Ribs is to blame because he is the sound man of the podcast and we had no sound. So if I'm going to blame someone, it's going to be the sound man. Isn't it? Headphone boy. Yeah.
Yes, it is.
There we go. So we shall see wonderful people in what would be part three, but is actually part two. Even though we could have split this into two parts, now it's been that fucking long. So we shall see you people very, very shortly. Hello and welcome back from the break to part three, even though it's actually part two because we fucked up and it's Tim's fault and we blame him and that's all good. So before we start part three, I want to say something. Today is the first time ever Jim Jam has met my lady.
I did.
What I would like to ask you is... What is your first impression of my lady?
First impression? Yeah. I said she made...
You need to listen to this.
She made the perfect first impression. Because she made his life a complete and utter misery. He was a complete mardass. For a good 30 minutes or so.
Go on.
Hated it.
She came in with a top on and took the top off and she was wearing a football shirt.
Liverpool.
I've never been so disappointed in her. Ever. Genuinely.
I've never been so disappointed.
I couldn't.
The fact that she took it off to get changed after half an hour, I think everybody was disappointed apart from you. And she couldn't deal with his whinging.
That's the only reason she got changed, because he was just...
Because the only thing I said to her from the second she got there is, you need to change that top. And then she'd ask me a question. I go, you need to change that top. She'd go, are you going to say anything else to me? I go, you need to change that top. And that's the only phrase she got out of me. I couldn't even give her a cuddle when she walked in. Couldn't do it.
It was incredible.
Couldn't do it.
Like I said, and I said it to her, absolutely perfect first impression.
Awesome.
I wish I'd been there.
Well, you were invited.
I know.
But you ignored us.
I had other priorities.
Yeah. So
you know what my Sunday mornings are.
This will go to my would you rather, right, as to why he wasn't with us.
Yeah.
You're a filthy cunt. We'll get there in a minute. I've never been so disappointed in her, I'll be honest.
I thought it was genius.
And I genuinely, hand on heart, don't think she thought that was going to bother me as much as it did.
Oh, he's absolutely because genius.
Once he'd gone, and the bravado had gone, I got loads of apologies.
Really?
Oh, she properly went back on that.
Oh, that's not that's being funny.
I just want to say, Becky, you've let us all down.
I know.
Me and Jim are now very
disappointed. Especially if she had to apologise and you were that moody about it.
I said to her,
you need to get a grip.
No, I said to her, I actually quite like the fact that you're willing to have a laugh and get involved, and especially where my mates are concerned, because I haven't had that in the past.
Yeah.
Because you normally have a partner, and I don't know if you two have had this, but I've had partners in the past that have told me, I'm with you because I like your sense of humour and I like the fact that you can have a laugh and you can do this and you can do that. And then the second you become that person, it's like, stop being childish. Why are you being a dick? Why are you being stupid? Why are you making stupid, childish jokes? I'm like, this is what I was like when we fucking met and you said, this is what you liked. Whereas with my lady, she's just as fucking stupid as I am, as you've obviously met today.
Yeah.
So she will get involved and she will constantly have fun. She'll constantly have banter. Absolutely. And I just like it. Yeah. So yeah, it did genuinely bother me that she got Liverpool shirt on.
I'm
not
going to
let it genuinely bother me.
I knew it would.
But
I did establish later on that I would feel the exact same way.
Oh yeah, if your lady wore a Portsmouth shirt.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, you'd be fucking livid.
So
you'd be livid. So you can't even tell me that you wouldn't be happy. I would have been less pissed off if she'd have come in wearing a Spurs shirt.
Have worked. No shirt would have
Because my
worked.
Son and my best mate are both Spurs fans, exactly. So it just doesn't bother me that much. But Liverpool, fucking shirts that she wore. It had to be
It was
one.
Brilliant, though. It was brilliant. It was one of the highlights of the day.
Yeah.
But we did have a good day.
And you've now met her, so you now know she's too good for me, rather than just me telling you.
Yeah.
So,
absolutely. There we go.
So yeah, now we've got that shit out of the way because that was fucking awful.
It was brilliant.
Awful.
Absolutely brilliant.
She sat there and she went, you're not even going to give me a hug, are you? I'm like, no, not really got that on. I can't. I physically can't. My body won't allow me to put my arms around you. I can't do it.
Brilliant. I would say I'm looking forward to us all getting together.
Right, we'll go into that now.
Yeah.
We'll leave this till last because it's probably going to be nothing. So we'll leave this till last. That laugh tells me all I need to know.
Yeah.
So have you got any updates?
So obviously
with your
last
situation?
Week very much changed on the pod where I said it looks very, very good.
Mm-hmm.
It's obviously I am back with Purple. I couldn't be happier,
back with
quite
Purple.
Frankly. Back with Purple. We met up on Wednesday and had a great evening.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of conversation, talked about everything that I wanted to be and more.
Okay.
Good. When you say about wanting to get involved in everything, I, like you say, not had that before. Mm. And I'm hoping that this is, and I know it will be, that's exactly how it's going to be going forward.
That's a good thing, isn't it? We all want someone that's going to be... You just want a sense of humour, don't you? But you want it to be lasting and not just a at the beginning thing.
And we said, because you said to me, you do know when I'm here, I'm going to refer to her as Purple.
Oh, she will
and
forever said, be Purple to me.
Yeah. And she's fully aware of that.
That's
and
okay,
is.
It's
and
not an
would
offensive
expect
thing.
Nothing less. It's just.
Yeah, it's not an offensive thing. It's
just the way things are going to be.
It's just how she's become known to us now. So she's just be purple.
But we've established that between the actual women in our lives that they will actually call each other by name, but will never be called by name on the podcast.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, they'll use each other's real names because they're a bit more respectful than we are.
Because they actually ask.
The thing is they can't use how I refer to mine because I literally call her my lady. So,
well, I said I can just call her lady, and you said you don't want to be.
I don't want to be the tramp, so you can't call her lady because it would be Lady and the Tramp, wouldn't it? So yeah, I don't really fancy that.
Which I thought was okay, but yeah. So I'm very much looking forward to how things progress and looking forward to talking about it on here, and he'll get sick of it.
He will.
You'll get sick of it.
We're going to arrange a double date.
Going to arrange a double date.
So we're going to meet up, all of us, at some point in the future.
Yeah.
So yeah, should be fun. I'm going to meet Purple. I'll tell you all about it. Well, not in private. Obviously, it'll be on here.
Yeah.
But, you know.
So yeah.
So all the dirty details, it'd be great.
At least I have discussed it with Purple already, and it's not like she's going to find out.
That's a plus. Especially with us doing the podcast.
Yeah.
She'll be watching this going, he didn't clear this with me.
Mention it.
I don't know anything about it. I'm going to have to ring him and say this is not working because you keep talking about my shit on the podcast. I'm not happy about it.
But yeah, so.
It'd be funnier if someone random just walks up to the street and says, hi, Purple.
It is good. And like, there's lots of little things where. You know where it's like you talk about certain things. It's like your best mate. He like says to you, "Oh yeah, I've known for ages. You're going to get back with your lady," kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And he says that to you.
You hate
the fact that he's right and stuff like that.
It fucking drives me mad.
And one of the things that you said was, "There's only one reason that she'd be watching this."
Yeah,
kind of thing. And obviously we had a conversation about that and.
We had that conversation on the podcast.
We had that conversation on the podcast, and we had that conversation this afternoon of what Purple said.
For those that don't know, the actual comment was, because you were saying to me something along the lines of... if she's watching the... And I said to you, the only reason that woman would pay any attention to this podcast whatsoever would be part three. And the only reason is because she's interested
in you. And when she heard them words...
Because if she wasn't interested in you, thinking, she wouldn't fucking watch the pod.
So she said, chop scratch. kind of thing, like like not realising it at the time. But then, obviously, after you said it, it was one of them.
Makes a change for me to be probably, right, that's for sure.
You know,
it does.
I'm okay with it. I like being right. It feels good. Now I know why Spen takes the piss out of me all the time.
Like, weird that you play a part in the fact that we're together, I couldn't be happier about.
No, we've been through this. There's another couple in my life that blame me for getting them together, and I'm not taking the blame. It's not happening. Yeah. I'm not doing it. My bike riding friend and his wife. It's all good. Not a thing. That's good news anyway.
That's mine. What's his?
Tin Ribs. Give us an update apart from that ridiculous facial hair.
Yes. The ridiculous facial hair is interesting. So, as you're aware, I'm doing Movember, and I'm trying to... Thanks to certain people going, well, I'm only going to sponsor you if you do something like this, and then sent me pictures of Del Piero.
Hello, what, 2010?
It's the 2010. I'm sure it was a 2010 World Cup picture, I think it was, they sent me. And I was like, you know what? Oh, no, it was even earlier than that. It's the fucking... Is that Italian 90 or something? It's an early Italia one anyway. I'll send you the picture so you can pop it up. And they were like, if you do that, then we will...
We'll sponsor you.
We'll sponsor you, but you've got to do that. So, unfortunately, now I have... I'm currently trying to grow with... And keep in mind, I have shit facial hair at the best of times. So, I'm currently trying to do a Del Piero, and it's...
Are you going to send me that pic through then?
I'm sending it
A few weeks to sort it out.
Yeah, I mean, obviously Del Piero's is very thin and stuff, so I've gone from clean shaven. So this is a week in. I've got a month. So hopefully by the end of the month, it'll resemble something similar.
I don't do Movember because I don't do well at growing facial hair. Well, it just doesn't work for me.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, I don't either. But, you know, it's for the right cause, so I'm... doing it. I'm doing it as a part of a work thing, so my whole team is involved. There's four of us at the moment.
So long as you know, on November the 30th, I'm going to be taking a picture of you from there down.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine.
To put it on the pod so people can see what you've done.
Oh, yeah. So you've got to have a little gap.
Though I might make it more jawline because I am the worst at like shaving.
That's got to be really like thin.
Oh,
no.
Mate, it's...
Yeah. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. So, yeah.
It's ridiculous. I'll put the picture of Del Piero, I'll add on to the podcast
so,
at the time.
But I've got to do Del Piero inspired facial hair. So that's what I'm currently working on.
Facial hair.
Which is obviously quite entertaining. I suppose I better give you an update. So I have a date next week.
The love life. Oh, hello.
Not next week, the week after. Due to...
Oh, fucking hell. How long are we waiting?
Well, it's international break, so you're not going to know for next week because we've got no break.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, due to busy schedules and stuff, yes, I'm actually going on a second date with...
Oh, is this with the one that we shouldn't have known about, but we basically both knew who you were on about?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's date number two, then?
It is. Yes. So
he's got past date one.
We've I know, yeah.
Winner!
Well, the interesting part was I had date one and then all of a sudden it's like, yes, do you want to share numbers and stuff? And I'm like, hang on a minute, are you that stupid?
Clearly she is.
Yeah. So yeah.
Does she watch the pod?
Not yet. She has kind of hinted because she's into her football, so she's a big Villa fan. Her kid plays football. She's a Villa fan. And obviously they're doing really well so at the moment, so I'm like, great.
Oh, one that might actually listen to parts one and two.
Yeah, that's unlikely. We talk shit.
Yeah,
I have told her that literally to listen to this podcast will just kill brain cells.
I mean, he's got a point.
Because we have established that our women only listen to part three.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Not only do they only listen to part three, but 80% of our audio-only fan base don't have English as a first language. we have one listener. One list. We have one download every week from exactly the same spot in Afghanistan.
Yeah,
every single week, religiously.
Yeah,
it's insane.
Yeah, they need to give us an email. I want to know who they are. I want to know
who they
them.
Support.
Honestly, yeah,
I want to know.
We need
what
to
team
know.
They support.
We need to know your information.
Please,
just email sundaypundits@gmail.com. Just give us it all, and we'll bring it out in the next part three.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd love to know who that person is.
I'd absolutely kill to know.
Or anybody from Singapore.
Anybody from Singapore.
Or any of our Yank friends.
There's a fair few from America, actually, yeah. Most at Texas as well, which seems really
best state.
I mean, it's a great state.
It's the best state.
But I didn't think they'd be interested in English football.
If someone said to me, you're going to be born in America, I'm going Texas all the way.
I'm not sure if I'd want that accent, I'll be honest. I don't mean to offend anyone that listens from Texas, but I'm not sure if I'd want that accent. Yeah. I'll be honest.
Definitely Texas.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that. Get off your fucking phone, you.
No.
Fucking hell.
He's telling Purple how much.
He's on to Purple. Yeah. I've been talking about you. Just been talking about you on a pod.
She'll know now.
I've just been going all gooey-eyed.
She'll know now.
We were talking about you and I just had to message you.
I've just sent a message about the fact that the sound test didn't work after 25 minutes, so now she'll know exactly what message I was writing at the time and when I was looking down, because now she'll know.
Yeah, wasn't playing with himself at all. Anyway, right, would you rather?
Oh, God.
Let's go on to would you rather.
Okay.
Oh, no, mine's on the phone.
I have one as well.
Now, the reason I was going on about you earlier...
Oh, for God's sakes.
Is.
I'm not that interested in the topic.
The would you rather that I have.
Yeah.
Could be interesting. Would you rather have everyone you know be able to know your thoughts, or for everyone you've ever met to have access to your internet history?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
This is easy for me, and I'll explain why. Because if it goes in there, it generally comes out there anyway. So people, 99.9% of the talk, know exactly what I'm thinking because I just fucking say
browser
it.
Browser history.
You'd rather people went for your browser history?
Yes.
You're about to be the butt of every joke going. I don't know what's on your browser history. Well, good idea.
No, you haven't.
I've got filth back.
Hang on. If you think my browser history would be bad. You should go through some of the shit that goes through.
I've no intention of going through either one of them doorways.
Exactly my point.
Not a chance. I'd never get out.
Well, it's like we were on about... So it's like the other day we were on about... I was talking to someone at work and we were on about the whole like how you progress with how you hate and all that. And I said, well, no, I don't hate anyone. But I do have a system of, in my head, I kill you in my head. And there's literally very few people on this planet who I have not killed at least twice in my head.
Wow.
Wow.
How did he die?
Usually a flying boot to the face.
That's right. Yeah. Go with that. How have I died?
Oh, so many ways.
I can imagine. I bet I'm like Kenny.
Oh, yeah. Quite literally.
Oh, my God. He's going straight.
I'm probably quite on the lines of... the browser history.
Not a chance. I'm not buying that with you.
Aren't you?
You would not rather people go through your thoughts. No, you're one of the nicest people I've ever fucking met.
Yeah, but that's the whole thing, isn't it? Masking.
There's no chance you've got shitty thoughts
because
go through your head.
No, because you think things where, like he says, where you think, oh, I could kill somebody. Because I could probably go on the lines of, like, shall I just say, like, when, I should just say, like, ex-wife or something like that, you know. I probably...
Just say the ex.
The ex.
You've stood there thinking, I strangled you to death.
In 100 different ways in my head. Yeah. But I wouldn't actually do it because...
You don't have to actually do it. This is people just knowing what you're thinking.
Yeah, but they're going to know that you're thinking it.
Just some of them, it's like... Who knows the thought process goes in your head?
I'm okay. People know my thought process because generally I verbalise it anyway.
Yeah, you got to remember though.
I don't have any. I'm that switch.
But I'm that classification of neuro spicy. My brain works in a really fucked up way.
I bet yours is pretty fucked up actually. Yeah, I'd take an entrance your head just out of curiosity. I would go nowhere near that fucking thing that you call a head.
It'd be like stepping into Freddy's nightmares.
I'd rather do that.
It's kind of one of them things where people like have said before that like where you go, you have. Really mild, you'd say, autism where things don't process properly. And it was somebody that said something to me going, you've got autism. And it was like, have I really kind of thing? And it was like, yeah, people that have got it know that you've got it and stuff like that. And then they explain certain things. Like, and one of the things is like, when something doesn't make logical sense to me, I cannot deal with that. Everything needs to be logical. If there's no logical answer to something, I really struggle to process it.
I've got a load of questions that we'll have later.
I'm the same, though. How many times have we sat and I've gone, it just doesn't make any sense?
No, but that's
because there's no logic to it.
No, but
it has to be A, B, C, D, because if it's not, it fucking drives me mad.
If something doesn't work logical or somebody does something illogical... It will drive me absolutely
it keeps you awake.
Insane.
It literally keeps you awake,
and it's kind of
it does because
it's not. Yeah, but on the whole autism spec thing, that's not necessarily.
Well, I don't know
because
I'm not on the autism spectrum.
You might be. There are questions I'll throw at you in a bit, and I want to know
whether or not it is. But somebody just said it. There are did, things. And they go, "You do," so, and I was like,
"Question us, then.
Really?
Question us."
Okay, do you, when you start talking to people about something that you're passionate about or you want to talk about, do you find yourself going into over-elaborate amounts of detail?
100%.
Too much.
Yeah.
Far too much detail.
Yeah, I just keep going on and on and on and on and on.
Do you prefer it when someone gives you direct answers rather than this bullshit? Like, let's go with women. Women have this fucking thing where they won't just tell you, this is what I want. They start batting around and reeking and all that shit.
Yeah, drives me insane.
Okay. So do you prefer people to just... Do you find it hard to read between the lines?
No.
Sometimes. Yeah.
No.
And I think on that scale... So people can... Like, I can talk and talk and talk and talk, but then if I'm not... If I don't know the subject and stuff like that... And I become unsure. I become very like I become so closed.
Do you prefer
off
direct?
Say,
do you prefer full direct information?
Yeah.
Do you like people who are blunt to the point?
Yes.
Yeah, but you said...
But the between the lines thing, I prefer someone being blunt with me.
You
but if they're not, I then read too much between the lines. And then way too much.
Do you question yourself regularly?
All the time.
Do you find that you have a hard time with emotional nuance?
Depends the situation. If I'm emotionally dealing with something I'm super close to, yes.
Do amazingly you find so. That emotional points and triggers won't affect you as much? So like public displays of affection, but then if you're doing something like golf and something doesn't go right, you proper like fucking lose your shit over it and can get really upset about it.
I mean, I lose my shit over it quite a lot. If I'm bad at football or if golf doesn't go well or...
Yeah, but could you cry about it?
No.
So, would you find breaking your favourite golf club
that
as painful as being dumped? Which one's going to hurt more?
Now, being dumped. 100% being dumped. But that's only because of who it is.
Yeah, I mean, along them lines.
It's only because of who it is. Because if you'd have asked me that 10 years ago. Mm.
So, for example, my little lad 100%. The other day, he wanted a Happy Meal. So I got him a Happy Meal. I also bought myself a snack for driving home after I dropped him off. And he burst into tears because his world had ended because there was no sweet and sour sauce in his Happy Meal. Because they'd put the sauce in my bag. And it was the end of the world for him.
Yeah.
He was absolutely distraught. It was resolved because I literally handed it. My ex called me over and I went back and sorted it. But people...
That's extreme.
But my lad's not that far down the spectrum. But what I'm saying is, it's like...
But is that...
Look how...
But we've dealt with situation like that with where we had pound coined incidents.
Jesus Christ, near enough
full-on meltdowns that got resolved quickly.
Yeah. Daisy did have a massive meltdown a couple of times
But now let's look at me. How many times have you seen me have a full-blown, absolute meltdown where I cannot fucking function because of something really fucking simple?
A few times.
Have you ever been there?
No, because it was the aftermath of the biggest one that you ever had.
Yeah, but for example, I mean...
I've not been there for a complete meltdown.
Yeah.
But I've been there for a meltdown.
So a really funny meltdown I had, and this is funny looking back on it. I came in from work. I put my keys on the coffee table and my cleaner was here. What she did was she picked up the keys and put them away, but didn't register that she picked them up because she just picked up, moved. I was on my way back out. So it's like quick change, back out, can't find my keys. So my process was to go logic. Okay, where would I be? Boom, boom, boom. It's not there. Okay, so where would it be? So then I started backtracking. Okay, maybe I didn't put them down. Maybe they're in my work trousers. They're not my work trousers. Okay, where would they be then? Where did I go? Everything. And then after I ran out of absolutely every single avenue in my head of this is where I've been, this is what I've done, I've put them somewhere. They're not here. They are not here. What is going on? Where are they? I had a complete flip out and meltdown. Now, don't get me wrong. Lindsay stood there the whole time pissing herself laughing because she couldn't get over the fact that my brain had just completely imploded and I was off on one.
I think I've probably been in them situation where, again, something's not made sense, and when something hasn't made sense, where I know where something should be and it's not there, by the end of it, where you can't, you've lost all logic and compute, you have gone full breakdown.
Yeah, then you probably are.
I nearly had a full-on breakdown because I left Willow's bottle on the sofa yesterday and I couldn't find it, and it made no sense, and I looked everywhere and no matter what I did, and to the point where I was like, oh my god, where is this bottle, like, and I proper stress, and I was stressed.
Were you almost disappointed
so much? Yeah, because I couldn't find it, it just slipped under the sofa and gone behind the bit, even though I'd looked under the sofa already.
It
was like getting to the point because I couldn't find it, and I'd done it, even though I could have just gone in the kitchen, done another one, and stuff, that wasn't an option. I had to find. Mm.
So do you find it hard talking to new people?
No, not even a little bit. Mm. I'll talk to fucking anybody at any point.
I wouldn't say so. Mm. I quite often speak to new people.
So you quite like social situations?
Yeah, I would say, don't think
I'd say it was okay with it.
Really have social
when we
things.
First met, it wasn't.
It's purely on a scale of logic.
So yours is process-based?
Yeah. Okay. Whereas social situations, that's not a thing at all.
Okay.
I wouldn't have thought.
I can't deal with situations.
Social things takes a hell of a lot, kind of thing.
Socially, I would say I'm pretty adept socially. I'll talk to anybody. I can handle most situations when I'm out socially. If it's very personal to me, like, I don't know how to explain it without too much detail, but there's certain people right now affecting my personal life, and it's fucking driving me insane because I can't...
Mm-hmm.
There's a line, right? And when someone pisses me off, I like to just step over that line just a bit. Yeah. You know, when kids just... I like to do that. Just step over the line just a smidge, just to go...
Push that boundary.
Fucking behave yourself, because you're doing me head in.
Yeah.
And I can't do it. That is driving me insane. Fucking driving me insane. Because I want to just pop a toe over the line just to go, wind your neck in. Calm the fuck down, and I'm going to be fine. But because I can't do it, it eats away at me.
Yeah.
And it bothers me loads. General social situations I'm absolutely fine with. Yeah. If something doesn't make sense to me, but it follows a logic, I can deal with it quite happily. Because I'm like, I can see why it is the way it is. Don't like it, but I understand it. Mm. That's fine. But if something happens and there's no logic to it, and I can't understand how A has gone to B, I can't cope. Because I'm like, I don't get how you've gone from there to there. And I either need it explaining, or I need to go and set fire to something. Because I just need to chill out a bit, because it doesn't make fucking sense how you've gone from there to there. And I'll then keep having the same argument with somebody, because it doesn't make sense. It needs to make sense to me, because if it doesn't, I need to know why it doesn't make sense of it, and it fucking drives me mad. I can't cope with it. I'm like, I sort of understand why you want to go from A to B, but I don't know how you're getting there, and it's fucking doing my head in.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't make sense to me. So yeah, if something doesn't make sense to me, I lose my fucking mind. But I can walk into a room full of strangers and immediately become the centre of attention and not give a fuck. Because I used to do it in driver's rooms all the time. It's like, just around COVID, just before COVID, we, at a lot of places, we were forced to sit in driver's rooms. And I fucking hated it. Because the seats are uncomfortable. It's horrible when you're in there fucking hours on end. And I'd walk in, and every cunt in there would be like, he is now.
Yeah.
They'd just be sat there like this on the phone. And I'd literally walk into the room, slam the door, and I'd be like, right, which miserable cunt's going to put the phone down and talk to me for a bit? Because I'm not sitting doing that shit that you're doing. And somebody around the room would go, oh, I'll have a chat. And then I'll go and sit and talk to them. So I'm happy to walk into a room of strangers and immediately become the centre of attention. Just for a second.
Yeah.
And then I'll sit and I'll chat with somebody. If I'm in traffic jams, right? This has happened a few times, especially now I'm a truck driver. So if I'm in traffic jams, I am the first one to open my door and go knocking on other people's doors and get them out and start talking to them. Because I get bored real quick. Mm. And I don't like being bored.
Yeah.
So I'll get out of the truck and I'll start. Luckily on the once, I was sat there for 4 hours one day. And luckily the guy next to me got a soft top and the roof was down. So I could just wind the window down, start talking to him. The second he started talking about doors open, I was out. So he jumped out of his car. Then someone behind jumped out of their car. As soon as one does it, everyone thinks, oh, it's okay, we can do that. But then, within 10 minutes, we'd all known what was going on, because one of the guys we were talking to had got a marked van, and somebody from the same company was down the other side. So he then got a picture of what had happened at the front. So we all knew what had happened. So it helps to be social.
Yeah.
Because then you learn more, and, you know, it just makes life more entertaining and more fun.
Yeah.
Like, be social. Don't be that miserable cunt that just sits in your car and is horrible and doesn't talk to anybody, because nobody likes that guy. But yeah, if something doesn't make sense, I really fucking struggle with it. Stuff has to make sense, or it fucking drives me insane. But socially, he's can be quite awkward. If there's three people in a room, he'll go in and he'll sit and he'll be okay. Now, if there's 30 people in a room, I'm not even sure you get him in it. Or you get him in it, and he'd be out fucking fast.
Yeah.
He'd just walk in, he'd go, don't like it, don't like it, don't like it, don't like it, he'd be gone. Won't even give it a chance. He'd just be gone. Right, because I've seen him on nights out.
Yeah.
We've been out on certain nights out, and we've been into a pub, and it's been just the footballers. No problem. Some will go over there, some will go over there, and our little group will be over here. Fine.
Yeah.
Then come 11 o'clock when every fucker's in there. His legs going, he's tapping his glass, he's on the table. You can see him looking around, not paying attention to anything that's being said. Not happy. Just doesn't want to be there. Just doesn't want to be there. Mm. Right? You know, it's just who he is. He's just not happy with it. No. And he's like, I need to go. I've got to go. I want to go. I'm like, here's a flat key. On your way. We ended up just having him a fucking... When I was at Brunswick Terrace, just ended up having him a flaky cut in the end. Just want to just let yourself in whenever you're there. Whenever you pass, just fucking go in. Just do what you want to do. If it's in, you can eat it. If it's not, you can't.
Yeah.
Simple as that. And we've pretty much been like that ever since, and that was about 18 years ago.
Yeah, it's the same here now. You just...
Yeah, yeah, I've got a key to his house now. So if he's not here, then we can still record it, because I can just walk in. But yeah, it's... So you, because you're all right socially, because no, when I started at Bibby, you'd just be happy. You weren't uncomfortable at all to just talk to people. No. Every new person that started, you were quite happy to stand up and introduce yourself and what have you.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So we'll move on from that one. So we'll do one more. Would you rather? So it's an
another. Would you rather 10?
Okay. Are you
ready? So go for it. Everybody knows what it means.
Oh, God. I'm not looking forward to this one.
So, would you rather, every time you get aroused, you automatically say, ahoy, matey. Oh, my God. Yeah? Or...
Okay.
I've killed him now. Or... When you're done, so when you're finished, you say, shiver me timbers. It just made me laugh.
Oh,
everybody knows what it means.
Oh, wow.
Ahoy, matey.
Wow, can you imagine? I wasn't expecting that.
You weren't expecting that.
Fucking hell.
I saw it and thought, that is pretty brilliant.
Oh my God. I mean, I'll be honest with you, immediately I know my answer straight away, but that's fucked up.
I mean, I think I'd have to go with shiver me timbers, but it's not going to be good. But you've got no choice. You have to say it and everybody knows what it means.
I would 100%... have to talk to my lady and just say, this is going to happen every time, because there's not a chance I could shout ahoy matey every time I got a rat, because it'd be all the fucking time. So
in the wrong places, 100% in the wrong person. And that person that you know knows what it is, so you could be in a situation.
The worst bit about it is, because I'm with who I'm with, if she knew every time I got aroused I'd shout ahoy matey, it would be at the worst. Fuck, you know my lady,
you get would, some sort I mean you fucking message. Met her today you get some sort of message honestly, inappropriate time
like it would
you're,
be
you're
horrific.
In court or something like that. You read your message.
It wouldn't be it would be a picture.
On there, if you get that picture and you stand up in court,
she'd
and
end
go,
me.
Ahoy matey, and everybody in the court, the judge knows exactly what's just happened to you.
It's so stupid, it's funny. Fucking hell. It would have to be shiver me timbers, because I couldn't give her that power over me.
Okay.
I couldn't give her that power over me because she'd use it at the wrong times permanently. I swear to God, she would destroy me with that.
You just have to hope you're not saying shiver me timbers at the worst time. You know, like, it shouldn't happen at the wrong time, but you know.
God.
But you know there'd be nothing worse that you're there going, you're only like 30 seconds in and you've said shiver me timbers because it's game over, isn't it? You can't even mask it. You're done.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Oh,
that was that was awful.
Yeah, but could you imagine it? You're walking, you're taking your little in school, the fittest woman you've ever seen walks past, you're stood right in front of all the kids.
Ahoy, matey!
Ahoy, matey!
Yeah.
I mean, when I...
So it's a renowned shiver me timbers then.
Oh, 100%. 100%.
I wonder if there's anybody out there that's going to pick a hoi matey.
I very much doubt it unless you are just completely asexual.
Comfortable or just...
And nothing turns you on at all, ever. Yeah. Because...
Or if you need like a blue pill to get going or something like that.
Yeah, that kind of
thing. Might not be a bad situation.
Yeah, they'd be okay with it.
Because if you were with your lady, you actually needed a pill to get going. And
well,
then,
to be fair, if you were sat there going, oh, hoi, matey, she'd be like, oh, fucking hell, yeah, let's go.
So it'd be like...
Happy days.
So imagine that. You're in the room, you're there, no. You know you can't do that. You're like that, going, you get your pill, you go, pill time. However long it takes. I don't know how long it takes.
He's a
liar.
You
just sat there.
He's a liar. He's definitely
done this before. And then you just all of a sudden, it's like, ahoy, matey. Or whatever.
I hate the fact that he turned to me when he said that. Then that was really unnerving.
Oh dear.
My lady would end me if that was me.
Yeah.
You already know she would. You've only met her once. She would end me if she had that power over me.
Yeah.
I couldn't give her that power. Yeah. I couldn't.
Okay.
So yeah, it would.
You
be
like that one then?
It would be. It shouldn't have been that funny.
Yeah.
It was just really, really, really funny. It just completely took me because I wasn't expecting it. But yeah, I did enjoy that one. That was a good one. Fucking idiot. So which one is it? You haven't answered yet, have you?
Yeah. Ahoy there, matey.
You would shout ahoy, matey, every time you get turned on?
Yeah.
You've never been turned on in an inappropriate place?
Yes, and it'd be fucking hilarious.
You're already uncomfortable in public.
I know.
Like, how much worse do you want it to get for yourself?
Because I wouldn't be there very often, so it'd be fine.
Fucking hell. Can you imagine standing in the post office behind an 80-year-old woman and you get a picture from your lady and then you're still go, ahoy, matey, that fucking 80-year-old.
She'd be well lucky.
I might get lucky.
To be fair, though. You know, like you said, if he's a single bloke or whatever and like he's walking down the street and one walks past and like somebody turns around and going, ahoy, matey, it might be flattering. It might work in his favour. You never know.
For me, timbers. that would be
I think it literally depends on, are you willing to be like completely like just up for like everyone knowing and shouting ahoy matey, or do you want to be going shiver me timbers?
You didn't say we had to say it like we'd had a stroke.
Well, I don't know how it's going to come out.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a bad choice of words there.
That's not
great. That's a really bad
that's
choice
not
of
great.
Word. No.
That's not great. You've made that sound
I
awful
know,
now.
That's made it even worse.
It definitely made it worse. I think we're going to...
We should end it there.
I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. This episode's just gone to shit.
I blame you.
Doesn't it all?
Oh, my God. I mean, it's normally bad, but fucking hell, mate. I hate the fact that I really liked it as well.
Yeah.
Dreadful. Right. I'm so sorry about the last 40 minutes of listening. It was awful. But we shan't see you beautiful people next week because it is international break, and international break is shite. We don't like it. We don't watch it. We really don't care about it in any way, shape, or form. However, we will be back in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
To record another Sunday League Pundit Show.
And a couple more Would You Rathers.
A couple more Would You Rather. Maybe you've got to come up with one as well. We'll do 3 a week.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
You've got to get involved somehow. You've a shit sound, man, as proved by today, so you might as well get involved somehow. Fucking useless. 30 minutes gone. Yeah. Into the ether. Because you couldn't hear any of it.
Out on YouTube.
What, for lip reading?
Oh, yeah. We could do a special mute edition.
A mute edition. Fucking hell.
You get more views.
Good grief.
Some put in your own clip.
You could see it in the reviews, a much better version. We don't have to listen to their shit.
It probably would.
It'd be a bit rough, though, if you've got deaf people watching us going like that. Fucking hell. Not even they can take the shit that we come out with. Right, we shall see you beautiful people in 2 weeks. As I say, we won't be back next week because it's an international break. So, have a good one.